What is up, everyone? My name is Brandon First, aka First Report, representing the ESBC Podcast Network. It is July 26, 2020. It is Sunday, so it's time to talk a little bit, a little baseball with you. And look, it's the first time all summer. It's the first time I've ever been here, and we've actually had games to talk about, actual tangible things to talk about instead of just us trying to see through the tea leaves of a weird off season and everything going on. And with everything that is going on, it's a short season, it's early on in the season, so we don't quite know what to expect. Look, everybody needs backup. Everybody needs someone that they can kind of shoot ideas off of, or to be honest, tell someone that, or to tell you that, hey, you're wrong in that situation. And that's what we do so well here at the ESBC Podcast Network. I am always joined on Sundays by Brianna Winner, the Winner Circle, as I like to call it. She has been awesome these last couple days. Like I said, bouncing ideas off of, giving me other things to think about. And like I said, sometimes telling me, hey, you know, that might not be the way to go. And it's worked out. So once again, very, very excited to be joined by Brianna Winner here. How are you doing today, Brianna?
I'm good. How are you?
Fantastic. I mean, it's, for me, it's, opening day is always great, and this, it's, the wait has always, you know, kind of the three extra months, and then you throw in the fact that really there hasn't even been any sports or anything. It sucks if you're a sports fan, you know, and now lately we have actually something to cheer for, and we have actual results and topics to talk about. We got a couple topics, four of them to be exact. The first one that we will talk about is the betting update for what's been going on with our picks since Thursday. And to be fair, we've gotten off to a slow start, and that's to be expected. The key is there's not been any offers. There's no skunks of the day yet. There are opportunities. Oh, wow. There are opportunities out there, and we've taken them, but we've also missed on times. But we will use the Hawthorne effect to fix those. And look, there's, at this point, 63 games left, or 63 regular season days left to bet. So there's plenty of time to make that money up. So far, what we've learned, at least looking at Thursday night, we were talking off air about this, the importance of being patient. I think opening day, I was raring to go at about 8 a.m. and that's great, but maybe give it some time. Let's wait for the lineups to come out. We made our picks, and hey, we did everything we were supposed to. Just forgot to be just a little patient. Got news. Juan Soto and Clayton Kershaw both went out. In terms of the Clayton Kershaw thing, didn't really hurt us. Giants still covered, did what they needed to do. But obviously the Juan Soto situation, that hurt. Probably would have cautioned us on picking the Yankees. On picking the Nationals on opening day. But look, it's life. You pick yourself up, you move on. We learn from it. And another thing, I think the unders in Dodger games, we talk about unders early on, and they're going to hit because the pitching is ahead of the batting, of the batters. But with the Dodgers, you got to be careful. We got in trouble on Thursday night. Kike Hernandez hitting a relatively irrelevant home run. The only person who was relevant for was for us and his stats. Hits a home run, pushes them for the over. So we started a little slow, and we went through the weekend, got rolling better and better. Look, the percentages aren't off the charts, but I'm going to point to that Orioles pick on Saturday. We told you to take the Orioles against the Red Sox. They got it done. And you're going to see return to the means in situations of similar to what we saw with the Pirates and the Mariners today. The Pirates and Mariners are going to end up winning about 20 games, 25 games. So they're not going to get swept 4 games. We have to find those games that they're going to steal from those teams that we can get plus money lines on and we can win money off of. This is a situation I'll actually bring Brianna in on talking about in terms of what we look for from past to looking now. And the reason I bring that up is today, might be a little too soon, but the Shohei Ohtani, it wasn't great. And I wanted to know how that Angel bullpen was taxed throughout the last 2 days. Because obviously, look, it's going to be a long game. When your starter doesn't get any outs, look, that's as bullpen of a game as you can get. So how was that bullpen throughout the first start of the year? How would it affect? And she luckily gave me great insight. And that's what we have to be ready for, because the live betting is key. That's how we were able to get yesterday with the Dodgers, getting a late +1.5 against the Giants. We got that in it when they were down 5-1, and luckily Will Smith hits a home run in the ninth. But from what I've seen, and I believe, and I'll ask Brianna on this as well, from what I've seen is teams, they're professional. Look, the Tigers aren't great, but they just took 2 out of 3 from the Reds. You look at the Tiger, or the Mariners getting one today, the Pirates. Thoughts on, in terms of teams not just dominating the other?
One, I'd like to not be reminded about what Ohtani did today.
Apologies.
He's going to come back. Obviously, it was the first game that he's pitched since, like, August of 2018 because of the Tommy John surgery. So I think he just needs a little bit more time. Obviously, you could see how frustrated he was because he wasn't hitting any of his spots, like, at all. But it's just going to be one of those up-and-down seasons. So you also never know, like, even with the Giants last night getting killed in a way. And then, obviously, the Brewers got killed today by the Cubs losing 9-1. I love my Cubs. but
shout out Wrigley.
Obviously, just – you don't know. Like, obviously, Juan Soto went down with COVID. Kershaw went down with a back sprain. And Verlander's news today, originally saying he was out for the season because of an elbow injury, now saying that it's only a forearm sprain and he's going to be back before the end of the season. Obviously – until he comes back, teams are going to be like, can't think of the words for this, but they're going to try to maneuver themselves around that, knowing that Verlander will not be facing them until the news that he is back. And obviously, yeah. Astros are going to be a team to beat in the AL West, unfortunately. So
I think we both can take solace in the fact that we're both in a division with some really big hills to climb if we want to get to the top of that mountain, if you will. And moving on to the second topic that I've, I guess, picked up on is lineup construction in 2020. And it's obvious that managers are the new rule of the 3-batter minimum is changing the way bullpens are being constructed, changing the way managers bring not only pitchers in, but the way they construct lineups. And what I've noticed, especially with the Dodgers, and they've done this, believe me, I love Dave Roberts. I still think one of the biggest things was the Padres had him in that dugout under Andy Green. They let him go. They didn't even, or I'm sorry, under Bud Black, excuse me. And they didn't even give him an interview. And it's been something that's really made me mad ever since. Obviously, it doesn't help that he goes up and has a ton of success, but he's always been very heavy with the splits, very sabermetric. I mean, there was, I think, and now Cody Bellinger struggled in the World Series. His struggles in the World Series are well documented. You don't need me to tell you that he's not amazing in those big spots, but he is still a great player. I don't think platooning him in the World Series after him having a great year a couple years back when they played the Red Sox, that, you know, doesn't look great. I think maybe Dave Roberts overthinks himself, but this year you can tell he's going with the left, right, left, right, left, right, left, right. And taking it a step further with, depending on left or the handedness of the starting pitcher, he's actually determining who's leading off. And if you look at Mookie Betts's numbers throughout his career, he is far and away better as a leadoff man. So I have issue with Dave Roberts just doing those things. I think he's just, I don't know if he's just too smart for his own good or if he's outthinking himself, but Mookie Betts is your leadoff man. He is your nearly $400 million man. you make sure, I mean, leadoff guys on average, now a 60 game season, it's not the same, but 100 game season, a leadoff guy, that's an average of about 40 to 50 at bats more than anybody else if he's healthy. Wouldn't you want Mookie Betts to get those? And don't get me wrong, Max Muncy's good, but I would want to give those more at bats to Mookie Betts, especially to keep just continuity of the lineup together. And I know Brianna had some thoughts on this in terms of what the Angels did this past week.
So today the Angels actually did right, right, left, right, left, right, left, left, left. So obviously the end of their lineup is going to be like all lefties. The beginning is going to be the righties and Fletcher and Trout, which works for them because Fletcher is an amazing leadoff man and Trout's always great right behind. Even today's like three-run home run kind of proved that. So it's not every team that's doing it, but I think also Joe Maddon just says, screw it. And he just does what he wants. And he has that freedom with the Angels, I think, compared to when he was with the Cubs.
Well, and he has a bit of, I mean, now, obviously, he doesn't necessarily want to be in this situation, but maybe he has a little bit of freedom without Rendon in the lineup. Can maybe mess around with Fletcher and Theis and maybe see where they, because, look, even when Rendon comes back, he's not, I mean, there are going to have to be times where maybe he needs a day off. So trying to figure out where Theis and Fletcher fit in that lineup, especially with the DH too. Who knows? That could be something. Rendon is a great defensive player, but maybe it helps if now Otani is mainly the DH. So as I say that, it kind of blows up in my head. But maybe to give him a day off when Otani is pitching, Rendon could be the DH. But I like that you brought up towards the end of the lineup because I've seen teams and they'll stack, you know, lefty or righty and stacks of three. And then on their bench, they'll have stacks of the opposite handedness. So kind of when you get the reaction later in the game, so you get ready for your three lefties to go up against, you know, a big righty. And later in the game, those three lefties are coming up in the sixth, seventh inning. They bring in a, you know, a left-handed specialist or a left-handed reliever. You now have three big right-handed bats to come off of the bench. I think we saw it with Marcelo Zuna yesterday with the Braves. I don't necessarily know if he came off the bench, but he had a big ninth inning home run off Edwin Diaz. But just in terms of building lineups, I thought that was really interesting to me in situations that we can kind of take advantage of betting wise in if, and we saw it with the Giants as well. I believe right now, I'm sure we know now, but up until about 3 o'clock, the Giants had not named a starter. Dave Roberts had kind of been kind of vocal, like, hey, you know, it's kind of a bit gamesmanship going on, but Gabe Kapler knows exactly what he's doing. If you're letting Gabe Kapler or every other manager know, hey, whatever you do, this is how I'm going to react, then yeah, Gabe Kapler is going to wait till the last possible moment for that, till he shows his hand pretty much, you know, it's poker pretty much. So it's interesting. I think eventually Dave Roberts will put Mookie in the leadoff spot, get back to being, you know, hey, talent in the spots that they need to play at, not so much saber metrics. But moving on to this third topic is one that we're going to have some fun with. This one is hopefully you saw this weekend the three games that were on Fox. No, there were not actual fans and those cutouts and stuff like that. I'm going to ask Brianna about her opinion on kind of what baseball and teams have done to obviously literally fill the gap or fill the seats of what looks odd, to be honest. Look, it's very odd to see completely empty. I mean, unless you're a Marlins fan, it's odd to see completely empty stadiums. So just what was your take on the, I guess, digital and all the different things we've seen in the first 4 days of this?
Well, I know on Friday the Cubs did have fans on those rooftops across the street because they do own those buildings. And they were able to keep that 6 feet apart while still having people there and just watching, still making money in a way. But on Saturday, I was trying to figure out whether they were people or not when Anthony Rizzo hit a fly out into like center field, I think it was. And you saw people and it was like, we can't tell what they look like until you see the first base line. And they're not even in the seats. They're on top of it. They're not even like where they're supposed to be. These CGIs are weird. Like just seeing those CGI faces don't help. But I think the cutouts, I don't know which one's worse. I don't know which one is weirder. But at least with the cutouts, the teams are still going to make money on them because people are paying for these cutouts. And even in the Dodger game, Will Smith hit one of those cutouts, and the guy on Twitter was just asking if he could ever get the ball. Will Smith's just like, hey, I'm sorry I hit your face. I will work on that. So I know there's going to be a lot of teams that are making money, like even more money on those areas that are hit by balls a lot more because they know that they can probably send those balls out. But the CGIs are, I think, in my opinion, are worse because they just look weird and you can't tell what they are until you look a lot closer.
Yeah, I agree. I'm the cutouts for me. So what the Padres have done is every home standard, I can't tell if it's every home stand or every home series. Either way, not really matter. But they'll have different themes. So this one is like friends and family. So Garrett Richards' mom, kid and wife were kind of behind home plate. So they get to pick, you know, that. And then there will be one with like season ticket holders and stuff like that. And we've seen obviously in Oakland where you not only buy the placard, but if your team or if the ball hits your placard, they actually send you the ball. So it sounds like the Dodgers probably need to do the same thing there. And we saw yesterday or Friday, Adam Duvall hit a home run, and it hit the cardboard cutout really hard of Jeff McNeil, the Mets second baseman's dog, that got the ire of John Wick on social media. And it's interesting because, look, fans aren't going to be allowed for – I don't even go there in terms of how long or that. We got baseball back. That's step number one. I expect sometime next year. I don't have any hopes for baseball this year. But I definitely do know that however baseball or however teams will find a way to monetize this, they will. And I like some of the ideas. I do not like the CGI, especially when they get close, because it is very much – like an old video game.
They're terrifying.
Yes, they are. And it's not something that, and for me, it's if you're tuning in, if you're the casual fan and you're tuning in, it's very odd, especially if you don't know what their CGI. And then when you finally do realize it, it's kind of like, what's going, like, for me, I think you stick to cutouts. Get creative with it. I saw the Philly Fanatic. Obviously, I'm impartial to him as a Philly fan. But him kind of playing with a cutout of a Marlins fan, kind of doing what they do to the opposing fans. So stuff like that. Get rid of the CGI. It's probably more expensive than we would like to even admit. It's not worth the money. Believe me, Fox, you guys love to waste your money, but it can be spent in much better places. So that was our take on it. I think throughout the year, I think we'll get better ideas, or teams or maybe even broadcasts will have better ideas. What are your thoughts on the sound coming in, like the crowd or stuff like that? Not so much the what's in the stands, but more the noise of the presentation.
I have no words for this. It's weird. But like in the Oakland Angels game today, they were doing like the Deo cheer and you just hear silence. And it's just weird when the announcers are trying to do something, but you know that there's no fans and there's not going to be a response to it like you normally would have. So it's just weird. Like everything that they're doing with this is weird. And obviously it's just so new to us that it's something that we need to get used to this season, because unless they let fans in toward the end of the season, this is going to be what's going to happen.
And even then, if they do let fans in, believe me, it's not going to be the old, foul ball right there. Oh, there's eight people fighting for that ball. It's pretty much like, hey, this is my section, probably. But moving on to our fourth and final topic is pretty much looking ahead. The series to watch this week. Focus in the early part, the first part of this week. We got five and kind of an honorable mention. We'll give you our thoughts on each one. First one is the one everyone has pretty much circled this since the schedule came out. It's time to see what the Dodgers do against the Astros. The Dodgers and Astros finally meet. And look, 2020 hasn't been great. Believe me, we all know that. But if 2020 has done one thing, it has brought the Dodgers and Astros together. It wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for a 60-game shortened season. So there's at least that. I'm excited, but maybe not for the same reason I think a lot of people want to see with the Dodgers. The Dodgers are not going to go out and try and make a point and beat everybody. I think this is going to be the Dodgers trying to go out and more Mookie Betts. I think Mookie Betts more than anybody wants to go out and just kind of embarrass the Astros. Now with the news, obviously, of Verlander going down, Greinke didn't look great, but I don't think he was going to appear in this series anyway. The bullpen of the Astros is a concern for me. It's going to be a tough series. I like the Dodgers taking 2 out of 3 in that. Dodgers top to bottom lineup wise are incredible. I know they struggled against the Giants, but I mean, they struggled against the Giants yesterday and still put up 4 runs and probably could have scored more. It's a really top-notch lineup, and until they lose 2 or 3 in a row, I'm not going to bet against them.
With that, it's not just one time, like one series they're playing against each other. It's 2 for the first time. And honestly, I do want to see fans come in for the second one because it's at Dodger Stadium. And I want to see what they would do, just like how I would have predicted that a bunch of Dodger fans would have driven down to Anaheim for the season opener that was supposed to happen in March. But I think it's going to be a good battle to watch. Now, the question is, everybody has been, quite a few of the Astro members have been getting hit, like in their at bats. So what are the Dodgers going to do with that? Because I'm sure a lot of them would love to do it, but when is the commissioner going to stop it is the question. Will he stop it after this series is over? Or will he just let it continue? Because we all know they deserve it. Sorry to you Astro fans. They deserve it.
Don't apologize to them. They cheer for a cheating organization. They got a championship. They got the payoff or the trade-off. They got a ring.
Yeah, but you never want to see anybody get, like, really hurt.
No, you're right. You're right. It's even Verlander. I do not like Verlander, but I don't like to see him get hurt.
That's why I'm like, I'm sorry, but you all deserve it.
Well, and I think it'll be interesting because how Major League Baseball looks at this. Because, okay, in our minds, I think there's a difference between the Mariners hitting the guys versus the Dodgers hitting the guys. Okay, the Mariners hit them. Whatever, you guys, they could have been not even stealing signs. They could have been playing with no signs and the Astros would have still beat the Mariners. But at least with the Dodgers, it's very like obvious, like, oh, because you're right. And I did see, I believe it was Gurriel and Bregman were at least the first two that I saw get hit. And it wasn't any reaction from anybody, no reaction from the umpire or anything like that. So I wonder if the first time, you know, Bregman or Altuve gets hit, if the umpire immediately just gives a warning. Because if that's Altuve, the case.
Altuve and Bregman did get hit during the summer camp games.
Oh, that's right. But, yes, yeah, that's what
there I, are videos all over Twitter about that one.
Mm-hmm.
Astros Shame Tour 2020.
Oh, that's a great Twitter Twitter follow. And, you know, and like I said, another thing is, look, in a 60-game season, as much as you'd like to, you know, ha-ha, I hit Bregman, look, the Astros, you don't want to put those guys on. So you got to be careful on how you do that. The next series that I highlighted is the Braves and the Rays. The Rays got a huge come-from-behind win today against the Blue Jays. Braves play – they're actually playing right now.
Not quite. Yeah, they're winning 7-1.
Whew, all right, so 7-1. Looks like they're going to go into that one. After losing game one, obviously got shut out by DeGrom and company. Then yesterday, go into the bottom of the ninth. Top of the ninth down. And Edwin Diaz does Edwin Diaz things. I tell you, 2020 might be crazy, but sometimes things stay the same. Edwin Diaz gives up the bomb to Marcell Ozuna. And then we see extra inning rule, get to it. We'll get to that in the SoCal podcast. I know Brianna's ready to just get really rolling on that. But the Braves get that win, and then it carries over. And look, that was one of the picks we had today. we had the Braves winning. And a big reason why was because yesterday the Braves go, they win it in extra innings. That's momentum. And let's be honest, the Mets, they're kind of one of those teams that they kind of fall apart. You know, the going gets tough. Well, they get going. They're not a team that handles adversity well. Obviously, they're struggling today. So Braves and the Rays is going to be a really good series. Two teams that are definitely expected to contend for a playoff spot. And, you know, in the Braves' chances, I think they have a better shot of winning their division. The Rays got to get through the Yankees. But two really, really good teams. And the best part about the Rays in all this, in the season that's going on, is what Kevin Cash and how weird he's going to be. I saw on opening day, Kevon Biggio. We got Kevin Cash. You got four outfielders out there and three guys on the right side of the infield. And he hits right into it. And it, believe me, that blows me away. But anyways, Kevin Cash, he's very unorthodox, but it works for him. I always like watching that. And believe me, the Braves for me are really one of the most fun team to watch. What are your thoughts on that series?
Well, I think after today, they're both going to go 2-1. Obviously, in the Braves game, it's only the third inning, so it still can go either way.
Yeah.
But kind of like what the Cubs showed today, they just kept rolling and they didn't stop. Mm-hmm. So I think that's going to happen today with that Braves game. But, I mean, they're both going to go into it maybe 3-1 or 2-2, depending on what happens tomorrow. So I think it's going to be a series to – like a really good series to watch. I do think that the Braves are going to take it. But with – like the Central, I think it was like everybody's like 1-1 coming into today. So it's going to be like a really tough like division right there. But so, yeah. So you never know.
Yeah. And even, you know, with win these games, I mean, we talk about 60 games and that's a long season. Don't get me wrong, but comparatively, I mean, that's crazy. So all these games are pretty much worth three. So you look and, I mean, one of the things, go back to the no crowd or the no fans or anything, is you hear the players and they are in, you can tell the each and every single one of these games. Look, everyone's in a pennant race right now. I made a joke yesterday. I said, look, the Padres are in first place and there's only 58 games to play. You know, that's kind of, you know, in a normal season, that's like, hey, that's nice. Obviously this year it's a joke, but you know, there's a lot riding on these games and each and every one of these games really tight. I agree with you. I think the Braves are going to get it done. I think the Braves are a better team. I think the Braves are the second or third best team in the league behind the Yankees and Dodgers. So we're really, really interesting to see there. I will say Braves bullpen, we saw it a bit yesterday. They got it done. Luckily, they put up a crooked number in the top of the 10th, but that bullpen late is not is a question mark for sure. Number three, the third series to watch is Brianna's Cubs and the Reds. Look, this is really interesting. The Cubs, 2-1, dominant. Kyle Hendricks, wow. Who says you can't throw 88 miles an hour and be successful in this league? That was something else. Really, really enjoyed watching that. I like kind of they call them soft tossers. I really enjoyed that. They go out 3-1. And then, look, we hit it yesterday. We got to take Milwaukee. There's going to be a return to the mean. Milwaukee goes out, gets it done. Cubs come out, dominate today. Cubs are the better team. Cubs are better than the Brewers. When it comes to the Reds, they are now 1-2. Just lost two in a row. I don't know if today's game went to extra innings. I think the Tigers took the lead in the top of the ninth, but last night's game went to extra innings. Reds lost it. Look, you lose two games in a row to the Tigers, it's demoralizing. So I look at this, you know, the cliche in sports, right? Tale of two teams. And I'm sure that the Cubs play tomorrow, correct?
I believe they do, yes.
Yeah, I think the Reds do too. So, you know, they could both go in 2-2 and it won't be so much. But, you know, for the Reds, look, even coming in, if you would have told them, hey, you're going to lose two games to the Tigers, they would not have been happy about that. That's already happened. Possibly going to lose three tomorrow, lose a third tomorrow. Unlikely, but it's a possibility. That series is really interesting to me. Obviously, it has, like all these series pretty much, has incredible division implications. Me personally, I think the Reds bounce back. I think they get it under control. I think the Central is going to be pretty much those four teams within three games of each other heading into the final week, final weekend of the season.
The Cubs do not play tomorrow, so they have a day before this. But obviously, you saw how dominant they were. Obviously, I'm going to be biased toward my Cubs, just like I'm biased toward my Angels. So obviously, I can't say anything about this. But Kyle Hendricks did go the complete game and have a shutout in opening day. So that shows what they do. But obviously they lost yesterday, but they do bounce back really quickly. And when they bounce back hard. Just seeing that 9-1 win today. So Cubs obviously have a dominant team if they can get their hitting going. You've got Rizzo, you've got Schwarber who had a home run. I think it was actually in the last like few games, but Cubs are going to be one to beat in that division. But obviously I can't really say much about it because I'm biased.
Well, it's important. I mean, look, the best part about us having these teams and our favorite teams is not only we're passionate about them, but we have maybe not insider knowledge, but we have a lot of knowledge about them. And that's the key to share. But also, like we say, at the same time, we recognize our biases and understand that, hey, you know, myself personally, hey, maybe Manny Machado isn't going to be an MVP candidate. I might be drinking the Kool-Aid a little too much, you know? So we kind of recognize our biases, but the information that you have on those two teams and in the league in general, but definitely those two teams, very, very, it's key. It's just sometimes when it's your only reason for betting, that's where it gets away. And I'll tell you what, look, we won that, the Diamondbacks game. I'm a huge Padre fan. I'm here right now. I do apologize if like 2 minutes in, the guy made a great catch and I reacted to it. But they end up losing, Padres end up losing that game, but we win the bet. So, you know, hey, that's what we call kind of hedging our bets. We get it done. If the Braves handle business, we'll have a nice 3-1 day to get ourselves back on the good side. Moving on to the fourth series to watch. Very interesting series. Another division, huge division matchup is the White Sox and the Indians. And the White Sox, I think it's pretty obvious what the White Sox are. Oh.
They got destroyed.
Yes, exactly. They're going to have to score some runs. And that was Dallas Keuchel today too. I will say, look, the Twins are prone to do that, but that's, I believe, the second time in three games. I think the Twins kind of hit him around in game one, two. So for the White Sox, this, I don't know if it's panic time, but for a team that everybody was really, really high on, I have a futures bet on them to win the Central. You never know. And for them to start right now, it's not terrible. Believe me, it's not the end of the world. Nothing's, the sky isn't falling, but you don't want to be 1-2 and already technically behind, obviously, the division leader, which is the team that you just lost 2 out of 3-2. They're going to move on, face the Indians, and the Indians they dominated today. They were dominant on opening day, lost yesterday. And I'm just going to say one thing, and it was the first time that I've fully seen the extra inning rule fully. Obviously, we saw it on opening night. I didn't see that whole thing live. But the next day, I did see the Kansas City Indians game, Kansas City versus Cleveland game. And Kansas City does what I think everybody should do with this extra inning rule. And it's bunt. So they just bunt. Bunt him over. He gets the third. They get a sack fly. He scores. Boom. They score the run. The next guy walks. That guy who walks ended up getting thrown out. So for the first time ever, and you're going to hear that a lot this year, a run scored and there was no official at bat. There was no official at bat yet a run scored. So that's what we're going to have to deal with. For the Indians, it's Terry Francona. How do they kind of deal with, do they change their strategy now? Because they didn't bunt. They went swinging away, and they didn't get it done. It blew up in their face, period. Do they change? Do they not? I expect to see one of these games go to extra innings. I think all these games are going to be pretty tight. The White Sox, we're going to see a lot of hitting in this game. The White Sox pitching staff has struggled. We've obviously, I think it was 11-3 today, 12-3. The Indians, yeah. And the Indians put up some runs today. So I like the Indians to actually win this series. I've been impressed with the Indians. I I think Jose Ramirez is going to do better than he did last year. I don't know if he's going to hit 330 like he did a couple years ago, but I think he improves. Francisco Lindor is there. And one of my favorite non-Padre players, he's a former Padre player, is Franmil Reyes. I absolutely love that guy. I think he brings a lot to that clubhouse. He's a really kooky kind of he's a quintessential baseball player. He wants to make people laugh. What are your thoughts on the White Sox and Indians?
Well, I think Indians are going to take it. Obviously, they're 2-1 right now. White Sox are 1-2. They do have the White Sox definitely have a break tomorrow, so they have a day of rest. But from what I'm noticing, for each series, somebody wins two and then loses one in the middle. Mm-hmm. So, like A's, like for example, A's and Angels. A's won the first game in ITB, which I will get to in the next podcast. And then Angels won yesterday, and then the A's won today. And it's the same thing with the White Sox. So obviously they could win the first game, but I think the Indians are going to take it just considering how much the White Sox have been struggling. Obviously they lost 14-2 today. They lost 10-5 on opening day. So the only way they can win games is by hitting. And I just don't think that's really going to happen against the Indians.
Well, the Indians have a much better pitching staff than the Twins. The Twins pitching staff is getting better, but the Indians pitching staff, Bieber on opening day was just, I think, 14 strikeouts in six innings. That's ridiculous. I mean, put the ball in play, boys. But moving on to the fifth and final, the fifth series, the Cardinals and the Twins. The Cardinals started off 2-0. As of today, after the juggernaut Padres, I believe that's the first time I could ever say the final undefeated team in baseball was the San Diego Padres. They are undefeated no more, but the Cardinals came into today 2-0, took a loss today 5-1 to the Pirates. I think for the Cardinals, what's important for them is to get Paul Goldschmidt starting quickly. Last year, I think one of the biggest, and they rebounded and ended up obviously getting to the NLCS, but their biggest problem was how badly Paul Goldschmidt started the year. And that lineup is built around him so much. Jack Flaherty at the top of that lineup, or at the top of that rotation, I assume, Wednesday or Thursday, we'd see him. He's a guy that is going to go out, and he's a bettor's dream. Whether you want to take the under or you want to just take that money line, you know that team's going to be in it because of what he does on the bump. The Twins are kind of the opposite. The Twins are they're kind of that beer league softball team. They're going to mash you to death. We saw Kenta Maeda today, did what needed to be done. Not a huge Kenta Maeda guy, maybe in that line or in that rotation. I think he fits because he is an innings eater. He's going to have an ERA of 4.5-5, which plays well with Minnesota when they average about 5 or 6 runs a game. You'll get your fair share of wins there. The Twins have to hit home runs to score runs. And last year it blew up in their face come playoffs. And when they got swept in the divisional series against a good team, the Cardinals are also a good team. I don't think the Twins can take 2 out of 3 from the Cardinals. I just think better baseball is played in St. Louis. I think the Cardinals are the better team. I don't know if these are 3 or 4 game series. I should have made note before we went into them, but I like the Cardinals to win that series. I just think they have a more complete ball club, but I'll tell you what, don't sleep on the Twins. Nelson Cruz, that guy is unbelievable. I mean, he might play for another 15 years, that guy, and he'll hit 30 home runs every single year. He's really fun to watch. And I think when the Twins get fully healthy, that's when we'll see things. But right now, I think the Cardinals still have the upper hand in that series. I like the Cardinals to win. How about yourself?
Okay, so obviously a lot of these series are going to be 4 or 3 games. This one is actually only 2. So I think they're both going to take 1.
Yep.
But I definitely see the Cardinals winning big tomorrow. Obviously, the Twins like won big today against the White Sox. And with the Cardinals, obviously, with the Pirates, they didn't lose by much. Or if they either won, like, really close, or, like, obviously, they lost 5-1 today. They won 5-4 opening day and won 9-1 yesterday. So, honestly, it could go either way. That's why I'm thinking each team's going to only win 1. especially depending on how their pitching is for that day.
Couldn't agree more. And that's, you know, when we look at the betting and we look at the return to the mean, maybe that's a game that we let the first game play out in that series. And then we hop on the opposite on the second one. That's kind of what I did on Baltimore on Sunday, or excuse me, on Saturday. Look, no, Baltimore is not a great baseball team. I know that. But those are still 30 professional baseball players. The worst Major League Baseball player is still in the top 1% in this world at playing this sport, folks. So they're still pretty damn good at this game. Nobody likes to lose 13-2 or 14-2, especially on opening day. We saw the Orioles bounce back the very next day. I think we could see the same thing in this series, but I do agree with you on your take. I think the Cardinals do end up taking game one. Because of what happened today, it's kind of that return to the mean. They're going to go out. Look, they're not going to feel great that the Pittsburgh Pirates held them to one run today. They're going to obviously feel that, hey, we had a chance to take three games and start 3-0. Didn't happen. We got to get back on the horse. Twins are a whole different animal. No disrespect to the Pirates, but that Twins lineup is not anything to forget about. It's going to be a fun series. I'm going to keep my eye on the over-unders in those games. If they're in the single digits, might want to have to think about that one. Maybe a non-Jack Flaherty start. But honorable mention, the last one that we'll talk about, just had to kind of throw this in, Yankees and the Phillies, kind of for a couple reasons. The Joe Girardi factor first. I think Joe Girardi still has some ill will from kind of forced out, or the way he was treated in New York here or there. When it comes to the Bryce Harper situation, obviously there are plenty of Yankee fans who think that, you know, if you're a high price free agent, and you don't go to the Yankees, you're the stupidest person on earth. And, you know, to be fair, I think Yankee fans are the stupidest people on earth. So, you know, it kind of goes back both ways, but Bryce Harper going up against, you know, I hope we get to see him against Gerrit Cole. I think we will. That'll be a great matchup. This is a series, the Phillies, I think they play the Marlins tomorrow. But that Phillies team has to get rolling now. They just lost back-to-back games. Or I'm sorry, they lost 2 out of 3 to the Phillies, or to the Marlins. My goodness, Brandon. And it's not the easiest sports city. I don't know if y'all know that. Philadelphia is pretty rough, and I think it's best. I think of all the teams in the league, they are the happiest that there are no fans in that ballpark, because if there were fans in that stadium and the Phillies lost 2 out of 3 to the Marlins, they'd still be booing them. So the Yankees and Phillies, it's a interesting matchup. The Yankees kind of came out today. I believe they pulled that one out today against the Nationals. So they're 2-1. Phillies obviously 1-2. Got to get back at it. I like the Yankees again to win this. I think they have a more complete lineup. DJ LeMahieu didn't start opening day, got back into it. I think 1 through 9, the only other lineup that is better than them is the Dodgers. And no team has benefited more from the break than the Yankees. They are as healthy as they are going to get. I mean, even Aaron Hicks starting on opening day. Aaron Hicks never starts on opening day. But because of this, he finally was able to. So I like the Yankees in that series. How about yourself?
I definitely like the Yankees in that series that starts tomorrow, actually. So obviously you've got Harper, but I don't think he's going to be enough against Stanton, Judge, and LeMahieu. And obviously Phillies are 1-2, Yankees are 2-1. And the Yankees were against the reigning champions, who obviously had a bad weekend losing Juan Soto, and then just the rain delay on opening day didn't help. But I definitely would take the Yankees in this series.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, I always ask myself, you know, kind of the common opponents, would the Yankees lose 2 out of 3 at home to the Marlins? I don't think so. And it is kind of a very Phillies way to go. This is a team that has a ton of expectations, and I'm not writing them off. This isn't, it's 3 games into a, you know, short season, but it's not like it's over for them, but it doesn't look great. Them and the Reds right now, those two teams probably wish that they had played a tougher opponent, at least, you know, going 1-2 against the Cardinals would have looked better for the Reds, or conversely for the Phillies, maybe losing 2 out of 3 to the Braves would have looked a little bit better. The Phillies are going to have to rebound. I do think, like you said, that the Yankees are going to win 2 out of 3. I wouldn't be surprised if the Phillies actually take game one of that series tomorrow, just kind of with a bounce back, just trying to quiet the fans. I know there's not fans there, but you know, the proverbial hush around you, or the noise that goes on around you on social media and regular media. It's really interesting, but I think we're in pretty much in agreement in all of those. So yeah. I'm going to have to,
with that series, obviously they switch home stands. So obviously I think the Phillies are going to win one game.
Okay.
But then the Yankees are going to win the next three, because they're playing at their own, on their own turf, the last two games of this series later.
Oh, so it's a 2-game series in Philadelphia and then a 2-game series in New York.
Yes.
Gotcha. Okay. Yes.
I just looked that up to make sure.
Perfect. No, I think the Padres and Angels do that, I think, later in the year. Anyways, but that's great. And it's perfect. I completely agree. So tomorrow, that's probably a bet we're already going to look at here a little bit later when the lines start to come out. Phillies tomorrow against the Yankees, probably going to be underdogs. The overreaction to this weekend, and the overreaction, like I said, it's, to be fair, it was the Marlins. But let's take advantage of that overreaction. I really do think the Phillies get tomorrow and then lose 3 in a row, especially with the front end of that rotation coming around. Aaron Nola was not great. Believe me, he's on my fantasy team. I really needed more from him. And we saw Gerrit Cole. Believe me, I think Gerrit Cole probably could have gone another couple more innings if they would have let him on opening night. So I'm really glad that we're kind of, I mean, sometimes for good content, it's nice for us to be, you know, kind of in disagreement, but it's great that we're both on the same page, because we're going to make money off of that, guaranteed. And that is the purpose of the podcast. Josh always talks about it. Every meeting needs a purpose. And that's really what this is right here. It's a meeting, and a meeting of the minds. And that is the purpose of this podcast. That was the MLB portion of the podcast. Brianna, do you have any final thoughts?
I do not. I'm just excited to get into the SoCal one and talk about the international tiebreaker.
Yeah. She's
I know personally.
Role.
I know that one personally. So and I'm ready to talk about that one.
Definitely too. For all of you that are kind of new to the, like myself, I mean, I had heard, I think last year in rookie ball or independent ball, they had tweaked with or talked about this idea, but I had never actually seen it put into effect in a baseball game anywhere. And I think most of fans are like that. And Brianna played in that situation, not watched, or they played in those situations. So
both ends. I was on both ends of this situation.
Exactly. So she, on that SoCal podcast, it's going to drop right after this. On that SoCal podcast, she is going to tell us everything that we need to know, the ins and outs of someone who is, unfortunately, someone who you will find out very soon her feelings on it. But she's going to tell, if you don't already, but she is going to tell us kind of the strategy and what you need to do in these situations. And that, I think, is something that we bring to the table. I really haven't heard anybody else bring that in a podcast or a content. Everyone can talk about, oh, well, I would do this or this or that. Well, we have someone here who has been a part of teams that have had to do that. That's great insight. Great podcast here on the MLB. The only thing that I want to add is just follow us on Twitter, myself, First Report. We have picks dropping for you every single day, especially when NBA basketball rolls around. Josh is he's really good when it comes to the NBA. Baseball is pretty tough to bet, I'm not gonna lie. The NFL, I think, is the hardest. Baseball is right behind that. We have a lot of weird things going on, especially in a 60-game season. But the fact that we got a chance to finish close to 60% through the first 4 days, we can take solace in that. But it's just doing what we need to do, following the rules of the podcast, doing our research, and putting in the work. So with that, thank you all so much for listening. Once again, my name is Brandon First, aka First Report. Thanking you all so much for listening to the ESBC Podcast Network, Major League Baseball Edition. We'll talk to you all soon. Don't forget, wash your hands, and don't hate.